My name's Neil Honey. I appreciate you calling on me. And I'm a member at Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church over near Tuscaloosa. Elder Tim McCool is my pastor there. And I'm grateful to be part of the Old Baptist Church. Amen. I know you all are, or you wouldn't be here on a Friday. With the beautiful weather we're having outside, we're really blessed today to be here. And I hope we don't forget that.
Amen.
Not that you would, but sometimes I do. It was beautiful to me, and it always is, to hear the names called out for prayer for a couple reasons. One is that it tells me you're thinking about one another. And you're thinking about those that can't be here, and you're thinking about the children of God that are suffering. And the second reason that it's so beautiful is because it reminds those of us that are here how blessed we are.
Right.
Brother mentioned someone who had a heart attack and hasn't been able to recuperate and can't be in services. If the Lord blesses us with long life, that's going to be all of us someday. And I hope when I get there, if I'm in a bed somewhere, somebody's praying for me.
Amen.
And I hope somebody will come by and just give me a few words from old Zion and tell me how she's doing.
Amen.
So I appreciate the prayers, appreciate the singing, and I appreciate the words from the brother about dwelling in unity. I'd ask you to turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 17 this morning. I'd like to read you starting in verse 11. We sang a song this morning that I've never sung about the silken cords. One of the brothers sang it out. I noticed in the last verse of that song, it mentioned how we fall at our conquering master's feet. Now we're going to read here about a man who did just that. And through faith was made whole and was able to see his Savior and able to see his master. I believe that's why we're here today.
Yeah.
I'm here to see Jesus. Because what I see every day at work and what I see every day when I mingle amongst folks is generally not my Lord. I see glimpses sometimes in people's life of faith and of devotion and of love, but a lot of the time it's dark. And it does me good to come here and see people of faith and see the light that is in you, the light of the Lord shining through you. We read here in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 this, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." So he's coming down from the north, from Galilee. You have to go through Samaria to get to Jerusalem in those days. You had Galilee, Samaria, Judea, and then Idumea underneath that. And so the Lord is coming down through the countryside here. And the Jews would go to great lengths sometimes to go around Samaria. But we see that the Lord goes through the midst of Samaria. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, because they had to, right? I mean, that was the law. If you had leprosy, you didn't come around everybody else. If you loved the other folks, you didn't want to be around them because you didn't want to contaminate them with what you had. There's no cure for it back in those days. So according to the law, they had to stand afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." Now why would they do that? The Lord says, they want to be cleansed. They know he can do it. He says, "Go show yourself to the priest." Why would you go show yourself to the priest? Well, according to the law, if your leprosy resolved, if it got better, if it went away, you had to come and get, more or less, you might say, a certificate of health to be able to resume your normal life. And so he's telling them, "I've cleansed you. Go and get checked out, and you can go back to your normal life." And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet. He fell down on his face at his conquering master's feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, I don't know for sure if some of the other people were Samaritans, but the Lord's gone through Galilee and Samaria. It stands to reason that possibly some of them were Jews. I don't know for sure. But I do know that the other folks knew what he meant when he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." In other words, you're cleansed. Go get your certificate of health so you can get back to a normal life and go live with your family and enjoy the blessings of life again. And so these other nine folks, when they hear that, they understand the law. They understand if I go to the priest and I show them what's happened to me, I'll get back into life. I'll have some blessings again. I can see my family again. I can enjoy life again. But there was one who was a Samaritan. Now, a Samaritan didn't necessarily have all the teachings of the law the way the Jews had. Now, they had some forms of worship. You know, some of the Samaritans were a little closer to the Jewish worship than others were. But primarily, they worshipped in a different place. Not to go into their long history, but they were folks who were despised and they were looked down upon, and the Jews did not feel like the Samaritans worshiped God in the proper way. And according to the law, they didn't. But yet this Samaritan understood something about Jesus that these other brothers didn't see and didn't quite catch. He saw not just what the Lord had done for him. He saw the Lord as Lord. And he understood that the blessings that I have, the cleansing that I have, came from this man. And let's notice what the Lord says to him. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now Jesus knew good and well where the 9 were. He knew everything, right? He needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in the heart of man. He certainly knew where they were. But he asked this question to make a point, I believe, to this individual. Where are they? Where are these other guys? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. That wasn't mine. Save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. We hear a lot about faith. If you listen to preaching on the radio, if you look at the television shows or things like that, people preaching about faith, and there seems to be a concept among many people in Christian religious circles that faith is some sort of a puppet string that we use to get God to do what we want Him to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that. I actually heard one brother say one time, if you do this, you obligate God to do this for you. In other words, if you send in some money, you obligate God to bless you. Here's what he said. You put God in a corner where He has to do something for you. And I thought, what? God didn't have to do anything for me.
Right.
You know what faith does? Faith, the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The faith that God gives us doesn't give us some kind of a stronghold on God to get Him to do stuff for us. It tells us what He already did.
Amen.
And it tells us who He is.
Amen.
And it told this brother right here, yes, my skin is clean. And yes, I can go back to my family. And yes, I'm excited about it. But you know what? This man right here did something more than that.
Amen.
This is my Savior.
Amen.
And listen, if you want to be made whole in this life, if you want to quit worrying and stressing and getting distressed about the things around you and the way the economy's going and the way the country's going, etc., 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 look at Jesus with eyes of faith. You can be made whole. It'll make all your problems go away. And I'm not saying that, because that's another misconception that many people have about faith.
Right.
If I just have enough faith, everything will go right. I'll be healthy, wealthy, wise, and prosperous.
Yeah.
No. We live in a sin-cursed world.
Right.
We are sinners, and we're going to have problems. But brothers and sisters, through faith, we can overcome the world.
Right.
And John told us that in 1 John chapter 5, if you look with me there. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. In other words, you can be made whole in this life. You can have peace in your mind and in your heart about what the Lord has done for you. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, how does that operate in our lives? How does our faith overcome the world? Does the faith that God's given me allow me to go out and tell God what to do? I tremble to even say that. Because it's just so anti what the Bible says about faith and about God.
Right.
I'm less than that big. I mean, I'm nothing.
Amen,
I'm like this guy that fell down at the Lord's feet and just probably buried his face in the dirt. I'm a leper. And He's cleansed my heart, but I'm walking around in flesh. And that flesh sins and it degrades itself every day, even though I try not to. If I don't do it in deed, I do it in thought. But what does faith do? Faith lets me overcome because I can see past what I am. I can see past whether or not God healed me today. I can see past whether or not I had enough money to pay the bills at the end of the month. I can see past all that because I can look toward the One who is the author and finisher of my faith, and I can see what He did.
Yeah.
And I can overcome the world. You know why? Because I believe He died for me. I believe this isn't it. I believe that we pray for some folks today who have some illness, and God, if it's in His plan and in His mercy and according to His will, He can heal them right now. But you know what? If He doesn't, it's not the end.
Right.
In fact, this is just the doorstep of time.
Right.
This is just a little threshold we're crossing over. Brothers and sisters, in a few more days, in a few more years, we're not going to be here and our faith will be sight, and we will see Him then.
Right.
But you know what? You're blessed. And I believe I'm blessed. That I don't have to wait for death to come. And I don't have to wait to open my eyes in glory to see Him. I see Him through a glass darkly. But I can see Him right now. And when I see Him right now, I'm overcoming the world, whether you realize it or not. And He goes on in verse 5 to say this, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, there's some big folks in our world. There's some people with billions of dollars and big planes and tanks and jets, and there's dictators, and there's people in the Middle East that just slaughter Christians and that just seem to have their way. But faith lets you see beyond that.
That's right.
It lets you see beyond the veil of tears. Some of you may know, some of you know me, many of you don't, but I didn't grow up Primitive Baptist. I was not blessed to. Now, my parents took me to church, and we memorized Bible verses, and I went to a Christian school, and I memorized a lot of the Bible. But I didn't know what a lot of it meant until about 8 years ago when I walked through the doors of the Primitive Baptist Church, the Lord having led me there by His grace, and started to understand what some of those Bible verses I had memorized meant. And it was a joy to me and a blessing. But I did not grow up understanding some of that. And as I started studying the old doctrines, the truth of salvation by grace and the sovereignty of God, you know what began to occur to me first? If you distill down the essence of what someone who's an old Baptist believes versus someone who is an Arminian persuasion believes, if you really want to look at the essence of what the difference is, it's not in the tulip doctrines per se.
Right.
It's in the essence of where does faith arise? Okay? You just try me on this.
Right.
Someone starts telling you sometime, well, you get saved to go to heaven by believing. And just ask them, well, how do you believe?
Right.
What allows you to believe and someone over here not to believe?
Yeah.
Well, faith does. Well, where does faith come from? I asked a brother this one time. We were discussing these issues. He's not of our order. And I said, well, brother, now, you know, our faith comes from God. God gives us our faith.
Amen.
He said, you know, he chewed on that for a day or so. He was staying with me for the weekend. And we were outside feeding our animals, and he said, I remember what you said about faith. Now, he's a preacher. He said, I remember what you said about faith. He said, but don't you think it's possible that maybe just everybody has some faith, and some point in their life it just kind of perks up and wakes up, and they start to believe things? I said, well, brother, if you want to believe that, you can believe it, but that's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
All right? The Bible tells us that the faith that we have and the faith that this leper had, okay, that the Lord declared that he had in Luke chapter 17, that faith comes from God.
Amen.
Faith is fruit of the Spirit. You're all very familiar with that passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness. Faith. Faith is fruit of the Spirit. Where do you get faith? I've said this before, but if the Lord gives me a few more years, I'll just keep saying it as often as I get the opportunity. Your faith comes from God, and you got it when you were born again.
Right.
Hebrews chapter 11 tells us what faith is and what it does. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us where it came from. It tells us that Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Right.
What does an author do? Authors write things, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that we are His epistle, written not in tables of stone, not with ink, but in fleshy tables of the heart. In other words, that when Jesus Christ took your heart of dead, cold stone, Ezekiel 36 tells us about, and gave you a heart of flesh, He not only gave you a heart of flesh, He wrote something in that flesh.
Right.
And one of the things He wrote there is faith. And He gave you seed of faith so that you could believe the gospel when you heard it. So that when you heard about His name and when you saw Him high and lifted up and you heard the singing and you heard the preaching and you read His word, that you could believe that it was true. What separates you from some atheist that could just as well use this lot of cigarette as to regard it and acknowledge it and memorize it and study it? What separates you from them? Now, I'm not saying they're not all children of God, because some of them may be.
Right.
But primarily it's faith to believe
right.
that. Why can we believe that this is God's Word and some other people just don't care? It's meaningless to them. Because God was kind enough and merciful enough to love us before the foundation of the world and for Jesus Christ, as we've heard put so beautifully this morning, to come and die for us and shed His blood drop by precious drop over in the Middle East 2,000 years ago, and then to condescend to send His Spirit to a lowly being like you and I and to give us His Spirit. And in that process, planting that Spirit there and changing us and creating something new in us, giving us some faith to be able to believe. You know, Paul was writing in the days of the Romans, in Romans chapter 2, he said there, the Gentiles that had not the law, some of them did by nature the things contained in the law, showing the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing their deeds and their thoughts. Understanding that, Paul's saying, look, before the gospel got preached, there's some Gentiles out there who were born again.
Right, right.
They had faith. Did they see it perfectly? No. And we don't either.
Right.
We got a lot more light than the law of them had.
Right.
And we got a lot more light than the law of people in the world today have. But we don't know it all yet.
Yeah.
But we've got some faith to see our Lord and Master and to understand that if I am cleansed, if my soul is cleansed of the leprosy of sin, it is because He loved me. Now over here in Luke chapter 17 and verse 24, Jesus says something very interesting. I'm almost a little nervous to preach this because when I was sitting back there with my children, someone tapped me on the shoulder and I looked around and saw Elder Chris McCool. Not to embarrass Elder Chris McCool, but Elder Chris McCool is a Greek scholar. Okay? And so I'm fixing to tell you a verb tense, and I'm hoping, Brother Chris, I get this right. But the Lord said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And He says in verse 19, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now this is like a perfect tense of a verb in the sense that what Jesus is saying to this man is essentially this. We don't really have this in our language to characterize it this way. But what He's saying is, look, your faith has made you whole in a past tense and continuing forward.
Amen. That's right.
In other words, you got faith, brother, sometime in the past when the Lord touched you and gave you His Spirit and He changed you and He gave you something, and it is not something that was a one-time deal.
Amen.
He put it there and it's still there.
Right.
And when this brother saw that he was cleansed, I don't know about the other 9, but I know this one understood. You know what? I'm a Samaritan. I may not have been worshiping the right way. I don't know exactly what the law says. I may not know what all the prophecies say. But I know this man that just spoke to me and cleansed me is God. And the Lord says, that makes you whole. That's how you conquer the world. That's how you overcome. Now the Lord healed him from his leprosy before he ever came and professed Christ and fell at His feet and hollered out to Him. The Lord had already done that. But the man could see it in a different way. Now, I'm not saying the other brothers didn't see it. They might have felt guilty the rest of their lives if they didn't go back and worship the Lord. I hope we meet them in heaven someday. I don't know for sure about that. But I do know that this brother saw something and felt something because God had done something to him before this happened. This brother got a physical healing. But this brother had something that extends beyond a physical healing. You know, this brother was healed of his leprosy on this day, but he ain't walking around preaching to us today, is he? No, he died eventually.
Right.
You know, probably a couple thousand years ago. I don't know how he died. Maybe he drowned in a boat trying to fish out in the Sea of Galilee. Maybe the Romans killed him. Maybe he died of old age. But this brother's gone on to be with the Lord. The healing out of his leprosy that day was temporal.
Right.
But the realization that he got through faith that this is the Lord and this is the Master, and I don't know how we understood it, but he understood it well enough to come and fall down at his feet in the dirt in gratitude.
Right.
Listen, that was something that was not timely.
Amen.
That was something that echoes into eternity. Because this man lived the rest of his life, whether it was 2 more years or 40 or 50 more years, with the knowledge of, you know what? The King was here.
Amen.
And the King loved me. And the King gave Himself for me. And the King gave me something that allowed me to see it. And I can't get over that.
Amen.
I don't want to get over that.
Amen.
I want to go the rest of my life, if it's 2 more years or 40 more years or 5 or whatever, if it's 2 more minutes, knowing that the reason I've got this hope, that the reason I can look at my life and say, God, there's something good there, that the reason I can feel cleansed is because the Lord did it.
Amen.
And let me, that will tell you, that will overcome the difficulties of life.
Yeah.
Because they will come to you and I. The problems of this life and the sickness and the difficulties, they're going to come to you just like they come to people in the world. But you got something that a lot of them don't have.
Right.
You've got the faith to see this and believe it. And to understand that God gave it to you. And it came from Him, that your faith is not accidental.
Yeah, that's right.
It's no accident.
Amen.
You know, if you back up with me in Luke chapter 17 here, a few verses up to verse 5. You know, the Lord in the first part of Luke chapter 14 is telling His disciples how they should forgive one another. Speaking of unity, brother, that they should forgive one another as many times as it takes, basically. And the Lord and the disciples say, the apostles said unto the Lord in verse 5, increase our faith. In other words, that sounds kind of hard. I don't know if I can forgive somebody every single time they ask. I don't know if I can just forgive over and over and over. I don't know if I can do that. Lord, can you increase my faith? I need you to increase it. And the Lord goes on to say, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should be done. In other words, the Lord is saying, if you've got a little grain of faith, which they had, by the way, and we know they had, and won't go into it all today, but you know, these were the apostles. These were the guys who gave up their livelihood and followed Christ. Not Judas aside, perhaps, but you know, I'm not going to argue with you over that one either. But in a sense, you think about Peter, James, John, these guys who understood who the Lord was. You know, Peter, at the very beginning, as he sees the Lord start to work miracles and allows them to, you know, catch all these fish, Peter just says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." That's a man of faith. That's like this guy. You cleanse me, Lord. I really, outside of what you've done, I don't have the right to even look up and look you in the eye. Let me just lay down in the dirt and worship you at your feet. Now, I know that we're kings and priests of God because of what he's done. But in this flesh, I just want to grovel. You know I don't have anything good to offer the Lord outside of what he's given me. And the apostles, most of them understood that, and yet they said, "Lord, increase our faith." You know, the Lord said, if you got faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and cast into the sea." But you know, being able to understand that, again, doesn't mean that I take my grain of faith that God's given me, and I go out here and I can say, "Okay, look, if I pray hard enough, if I fast hard enough, if I do this, if I give enough money, then God's got to do this." Again, it doesn't work that way. What faith does, again, faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, is it lets me see what God has done. It lets me see what He is about, and it lets me see that He has conquered. And sometimes the way He conquers is not the way I'd like for Him to conquer. You know, John preached that, if you turn back with me to Luke chapter 3. In verse 3, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That is, as written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low." You know, my faith does not allow me, personally, as little bitty Neil Honey from nowhere, to go out here and move a mountain. But you know what it lets me know? One's already come who's removed the mountains, and he's cast them into the sea, and he's filled up the valleys, and he has made the way as straight and as plain and as level and as clear as it could possibly be. I keep my eyes on him, and I'm looking down the road at him, and these things that trouble me from the side and that come in and assault me, and I assure you there's something every day. I know y'all experience that too. You know, there's something pounding you every day. There's this sorrow, and there's this heartache, and there's this difficulty. But you know what? The Lord's made the path straight. He's filled in those gutters, and he's taken down those mountains, and he's opened up the way to eternity. I don't have to... Let me be careful here how I say this. I don't want to confuse anybody. But my faith that he has given me is not what allows me to walk that path into eternity. It lets me see the path that he already created, that he placed me on, that I'm going to continue on till the end, and he's going to preserve me in that. People sometimes, again, get in religious circles and Christianity, often get confused about, again, what faith is. Right. They say, well, faith is what allows me to do this or do this or do this or do this so I can be saved eternally. God gave me the faith before I had any regard or any desire to do anything for Him. Before I had a desire to believe or be baptized or join the church or shake the preacher's hand or hug your neck. The Lord gave me faith to allow me to do that. And the faith that I have, though, it should let me see that. It should let me see what he's done. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And I am saved through faith in the sense that faith, remember, you got to remember what faith is. It is that evidence of things not seen. The faith lets me see what he did. It lets me see that he saved me. It lets me see that he's gone before me. It lets me, though I have never seen Jesus with these natural eyes, it lets me see him hanging on a cross for my sake. If I give way to him and I put my flesh to the side, it lets me see that. I hope this doesn't trivialize faith, but as I was thinking about this morning, I recall an experience I had some years ago. About 20 years ago, well, over 20 years ago, I started scuba diving. I don't know if any of y'all ever scuba dive under the water much, but I enjoyed it at the time. I was a lot younger. I didn't have any children, so I didn't really worry about drowning at the bottom of the sea. We started having children, I gave it up. but I love scuba diving. I remember the first time I went scuba diving, you know, we'd had several months of preparation at swimming pools. You know, we learned to put on the equipment, put on the mask, you know, get the oxygen and all that on, and you learn to be safe, because you don't want to jump off a boat in 100 feet of water and, you know, dive down 60 or 70 feet and forget, you know, where to breathe or how to breathe. There's something, you know, you'll die. So they take you through this process of learning. And so we finally got to the day where we got to graduate to actually go dive in the ocean. And so we get on a boat, we go 4 or 5 miles out, and you can still see the outline of the shore, and you can see some houses and condos and things out down in Florida off the shoreline. And the instructor said, okay, put on your gear. So, you know, we've all been through the drill 100 times. We put on the stuff, we get our mash ready, and then he says, all right, it's time to go. He helps us into everything. We sit on the edge of the boat, and we flip backwards and fall into the water. Now, a second before that happened, I could look around me, and I could see the ocean. I could see some other boats out there. I could look over there and see the beach. You can imagine people maybe in their houses or their condos out sitting having a cup of coffee watching the ocean. And it's beautiful. You know, there's waves and there's birds and you see a fish breaking the surface here and there. But when I went under the water, it was another world. You know, I fell over, you know, closed my eyes, waiting for the impact. And it was cold. It was kind of early spring. And I drifted down a few feet. I took a deep breath and opened my eyes. And I'd seen things on TV. But I'd never seen anything like this. I mean, there were schools of fish and there were just minnows flashing this way and that way. And they're all turning at the same time. And I'm looking at that and thinking, how do these fish all know how to do this all at the same time? There's no chaos. There's order here. There's beauty. And you can see the sunlight filtering down through the water. I saw something when I went under that I couldn't see from the surface. From the surface, the ocean was just gray. And kind of lifeless, other than some seagulls and things like that. When I went underneath, man, it was a whole different world. You know, there were fish and there was beauty. And there were things that the folks sitting on their balconies couldn't see. The captain of the boat couldn't see it. The only ones of us that could see it were the ones that were under there swimming around through it. Now, I know that's a natural example. But that's kind of how faith works in our lives, really. There was a whole world waiting under that ocean that God had made that I'd never seen until I was in my mid-20s. Never imagined that it was there. Couldn't have conceived of what it looked like, other than things I saw on television. I couldn't have known what it was like at the time, and I went on and dove for several years, you know, and you go down 100 feet down the bottom of the ocean and look up, couldn't see anything. You know, you're completely isolated. Go down at night diving, and there's a whole nother world there that you just never imagined of creatures and things like this, of all these wonderful works that God made by the word of His power and upholds by the word of His power, but I didn't know they were there until I went under. Faith is really, it's like that. It is the evidence of things that God's done, of mighty works that He has wrought. It lets us see those things. And it lets us enjoy those things. And as old Baptists, let us not forget that the faith that we have to see the old paths, to understand the old truths, to cherish the doctrine, to love one another, to live in unity, and to walk in unity, that very faith is a gift of God.
Amen.
He gave it to us. And I hope that we would utilize it, and we would treasure it. And we would try to pass on the faith in an experiential religious sense to our children and our grandchildren and our co-workers and other people with a sense of joy and urgency. The journey through this life for the Lord, it is arduous sometimes. I know that. I know it's arduous. I've been up at night trying to make a living too. I've cried tears in the hallway somewhere when someone died or something like this. I've felt the burden of life. I know what it feels like. But when you can look beyond that through eyes of faith, and you can see your Savior, and you can see that you are cleansed, and you can see that you are made righteous, and you can see that when you draw your last breath here, it's going to be like flipping over the side of the boat. You're going to open your eyes into something you can't imagine, you can't conceive of. In the few days or the few years that you spend in labor here, I just believe they're going to seem like nothing.
Amen.
You know, the sufferings here are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's awaited. You know, I try to get up every morning. Sometimes I forget. But I try to get up when I'm driving to work and I'm worried about what's going to wait for me there. And somebody going to be mad at me. You know, somebody going to sue me today. You know, and I got all these things in my mind. You know what I try to do is I look down that highway in front of me. I try to think about what's at the end of that.
Yeah.
I enjoy the blessings of the Lord today. Enjoy the singing. Enjoy the prayers. Enjoy all that. As much as I love you, and as much as I love this, and as much as I enjoy some things out in the natural world, I know this isn't our home.
Amen.
We're strangers.
Amen.
And we're pilgrims. And if you feel out of place sometimes, rejoice!
Yeah.
It means you got faith!
Right.
It means you see something else. You haven't gotten there yet. And today, as the course of this day, if you're not a member of the church, let me tell you, if you see what Jesus has done for you, if you understand that the cleansing that you have and the cleansing of sins that you have and the joy that you have in your heart, if you can see and understand that that came from the hand of the Master, just fall down at His feet. Follow Him in believer's baptism. Join the church. Go to the meetings. Fellowship with the saints. Love one another. Because He sure loved us. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your kind attention.